Our next song will be Just As I Am. And I expect you to hit the aisles.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, I know.
John Broadway did.
I told everybody this morning it's Romans 12:2. Oh, talks about humility and soberness.
And I told you we didn't drink during the ball game.
Just as happened.
Celebrated afterward.
There was a lot of prayer, so we had to be here today.
I told John Broadway that was the wrong thing to do.
You think I'll do something like that?
I would be shocked if you did. Barbara, yes, but not you. All right, I'm going to begin because, as you know, I'm doing 2 weeks that took 20-some-odd weeks to do in my class, so we're having to move pretty quick. The subject is, if you're new in the class today, the subject is dealing with the subject of how does a Christian deal with political issues and how do they deal with religious issues. So in my class, we took about 20 weeks in dealing with religious issues because we don't do well. We split churches. We don't get along on those kind of issues. And so it's very important how we deal with that. The second one is political issues. The two things you're not supposed to talk about in life with people that you like or don't want to impress is religion and politics. And I've been involved in both of them all my life, so I have a perspective about how these things should be done. And because it's getting close to election time, Lynn asked me to come down and talk about the political side of it. And I'm going to cover just a little bit about what I covered last week, but to catch up a little bit. But this is going to be fast and furious. Won't take any questions. I don't have time. Be glad to talk to you after class about it at all. I cannot deal with all the scriptures that we dealt with in the class because of the time restraints. So that's kind of how this took place and why I'm down here today. Often dealing with these issues, we're dealing with uninformed people, emotionally driven people, duped people, and crazy people. Now, that's only in the church. And then outside the church, we get a little worse sometimes. There are four things can happen, folks, when we're discussing these issues. One is I'm right and you're wrong. The second one is you're right and I'm wrong. We're both right and we're both wrong. And we're so passionate about these issues sometimes we get ourselves into deep trouble, even among ourselves. Unless you're seeking truth, I have no interest whatsoever in talking to you about politics or religion, either one. And I don't mean that ugly. There's no sense in us talking about it because I come from a different view, which you're going to hear about in just a moment. Rick Warren said one time, a lie doesn't become truth, wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. Added to our mission in my classes, trying to explain greater insight into both religion and politics. I have a perspective about both with flaws, because I'm human, but these are my thoughts on how a Christian should deal with these issues for sure. I gave a speech for years at different civic clubs and banquets and so forth called War Cry. I'm going to give you the introduction to part of that speech this morning because it deals with what I want to say. Do you feel that America has slipped its moral, ethical, and spiritual moorings? We are at war for the minds, hearts, and souls of our people, especially the minds and hearts of our children. There are kingdoms in conflict. Chuck Colson, who got himself in trouble, politician, got himself in trouble, went to prison, but came out a really strong believer, said this, the crisis is in the character of our culture, where the values that restrain inner vices and develop inner virtues are eroding. Unprincipled men and women, disdainful of their moral heritage and skeptical of truth itself, are destroying our civilization by weakening the very pillars upon which it rests. James Dobson, who is my favorite child psychologist of all times, wrote in his book, Children at Risk, The humanistic system of values has now become the predominant way of thinking in most centers of society. It has outstripped Judeo-Christian precepts in the universities, in the news media, in the entertainment industry, in the judiciary, in the federal bureaucracy, in business, medicine, law, psychology, in the halls of Congress, indeed, the resources available to secular humanists throughout society are almost unlimited in scope, and they're breaking new ground every day. I have a granddaughter, two granddaughters who were at the game yesterday. Both of them will graduate at the same time in December when I was going to become a lawyer. And she and I have had long talks about what she's hearing and fixing to hear. Donald McIlvaney said in his book, Toward a New World Order, the moral decline is a result of a spiritual decline. And the spiritual decline in turn has contributed to the social, political, and monetary economics of a country in decline. There's a handful of people who cannot see or discern the decline. The handful of people that can see it and who try to warn others are ridiculed as gloomers, doomers, reactionaries, right-wingers, fear-mongers, homophobic, misogynic, racist. Time to be reminded, folks, here it comes. And if you don't believe these two things, dealing with government and the government and God are not connected and politics are not connected. By the way, last week I discussed the theory of God and politics. They're two different things, not two different things. They complement, but they're not exactly the same thing. Blessed, for Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What else can I say? That's for all nations, not just America. Our exceptionalism of this country is because our country tried to do something no country's ever done, and that's put God in places that he's never been in a government before. And here it comes, Proverbs 34:12, righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. Sin. We were doing better when we were behaving better. All issues, here it comes, all issues of life, political or religious, must begin with God, or else you do not connect to the Psalms and the Proverbs I've just read. The results of that is from Judges 21:26, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And that's what's happening in America. Folks, we either read this book, and this is the basis for all we do in life, or you can take this book, Communist Manifesto and the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. This one is the philosophy of communism. By the way, it's a philosophy that is atheistic. They don't believe in God. And yet they want to run a government. They try to run governments. They kill more people. They make Hitler look like a junior high guy. Communism is godless. It doesn't fit Romans or Proverbs. And for some reason, we can't connect the dots on this stuff. This is the book that tells you how to write. This is the book to tell you how to destroy another human being when they disagree with you. This is their Bibles. That's who they read. I read all their books because the old coach comes out at me. If you're going to be my opponent, I want to know what your game plan is. So you have to read this stuff. There are two schools of thought. One, you're either in the secular worldview today, which if you are, if this is the way you look at life, then here's your players who are with you in your game. The humanist, the atheist, the socialist, the communist. Humans, beings, all who consider each human being a god. You're your own god. There is no one god. You're the god. Humanism. That's what it is. They have written their plan out. They have written the things they attempt to do. It's out there. Destroy the schools. It's all out there. They read it. They write it. And it's been out there for years, and most of us haven't got a clue about them because we don't pay attention. And if that's your background, if that's the way you approach government and your country, then you're dealing with a godless philosophies. You're dealing with people who don't understand human life and value it. You're dealing with people who do not respect authority. You're dealing with people who don't even have a concept of sin because they don't believe in it. because there's no God, there's no reason to believe in a sin. The solving of issues, then, under this view, the secular view, becomes from the mind of man, generally through the negating of religion and trying to answer life's issues through a political philosophy. Hear me again. Are you trying to solve issues of life through a political philosophy? It won't work, because the other one does, which is the Christian view of the world. All issues begin here. I showed you a book last week. Russ had it. He knew about it. This is Wayne Gruden's book, Politics According to the Bible. I'm going to read to you all the issues in a few minutes that I think you should be concerned about. All of them in here, plus I've added a few more. When you get the issue, no matter what you open up to, which happens to be marriage, and all the scriptures dealing with marriage, and then all the philosophies trying to tear down marriage in this country. It's in this book. And that's where we have to start. We deal with what the scriptures say about an issue, not what the Democrats or the Republicans think. That's way down the list. Yes. Way down the list. You don't start there. We have a worldview, and that must be the Christian worldview. The first steps on deciding, here's your toolbox for the Christian worldview. First of all, what does God think and the church think? Second, who are the people on either side? Who are these people? Who are these people that think this, say this? Who are the people against this? Third, what groups are backing that? Find out. You'd be utterly amazed. J. Edgar Hoover wrote a book in 19, when I graduated from high school, every senior in Nashville, Tennessee was given this book called Masters of Deceit. It's a small book, but he outlined how the Communist Party works, a godless philosophy, how the Communist Party works. And he talks about being duped. They get these organizations and they give them great sounding names. They get Americans in the organization with ulterior motives and then use them on a certain philosophy. Now, he talks about it. He outlines it. If you're old enough to remember back in the Vietnam days, the Students for Democratic Society, that was the big group who rioted on the campuses, who marched in the streets and did all the things. It was Communist Front. Pure Communist Front. And you can be able to, after you read Hoover, you'll be able to identify those groups. What does history say? Do we know about history? What has this group, a party of this philosophy, this ism, what has it done in the world in the past? We don't understand that sometimes. We certainly don't understand our own history. Not teaching it. In fact, abusing it. In fact, turning it around to mean something else differently. And then, folks, and I don't know another way to put this, you got to have some common sense. Applying some common sense to life and what's going on in this life. And we just kind of throw that out the window for some reason. And then the last thing on my list is what the Democratic or Republican Party think. That's the last on my list. And I want you to know that, what they list. I want you to know what they think. Because I'm going to ask you in a few minutes, how do you vote? On what basis do you vote? And it better be more than, I like him, I don't like him. It better be more than that. Or you're failing big time in your responsibility, for sure. Unless you approve God first in all the issues of life, there is something wrong with your politics and your religion. And I believe that with all my heart. When I was in politics, when I was in government, I love government. I love politics, politics and the good kinds of government. If there is no God, no creator who sets the rules, then we are set adrift morally. When the people of Israel forgot their Creator, when they had no one leading them in being faithful to God, God wasn't pleased with them at all. And how long is He going to put up with us? All right, here are the issues. And I'm not going to be able, unfortunately, to talk about all the issues that I think that Gruden talks about in here with Scripture. And you say some of them, there's no thou shalt not deal with, or like the subject of economics. But it is a Christian issue. All the issues dealing with how you deal with each other in work, ethics, work ethics, and all those kind of things, all that's Christian. All that has to do with involved in all the issues that we're dealing with, for sure. How do I know that all issues come from man's heart? Because Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. Quote, let government fix your potholes and put out your house fires. It won't fix man's hearts. It won't do it. I never fixed one person's heart when I was in the council. I can fix your pothole for you. I can help buy enough fire engines to help put out your house fire. Government is not designed, and God never gave us that. He told us exactly what government was for, to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. That's the first and primary thing of government. It isn't to take care of everybody. It isn't to deal with all the issues that we're having. I'll give you one. I am going to talk about one in just a moment to show you how we have to deal with these things. What are the issues that are waged on the battleground of America? And I use that term, the battleground. It is a battleground. That's the reason that the speech that I gave to civic clubs and other places was called War Cry, because at the end of it, I was calling for it's time to go to war, and it is. You're going to be surprised at my final statement today, for sure. Why is it tough to discern issues just before we get into them? Why is it so? Because we're ignorant. We don't study them. We don't think about them. We don't know where to go look. We listen to the wrong people. We listen to the wrong networks. We listen to the wrong, read wrong books.
We're stupid and we're nobody?
No. Yeah, ignorant. We're ignorant because we don't pay attention. I told you last week, and for you who were in here, you'll hear it again. For you who weren't in here, the guys they teach to run campaigns. And of course, I had campaign. I wouldn't let mine go negative. They all go negative because it works. It works on us. But the two things they teach those boys in school and girls in schools how to run campaigns about the public: number one, you don't pay attention, and number two, you're stupid. I'm sorry. That's exactly what they say. They're stupid. They're not going to pay attention. They don't know what they're doing. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. They've been duped or whatever. What is really behind some issues? Let me give you an example of something. And I'm not going to get into it because there's a lot of things you can debate within this issue. Gun control, for example. You can debate that issue on a number of grounds. But sometimes there are hidden issues. For example, beyond who's killing who or who's murdering who, the real reason that the Communist Party and those who are tyrannical who want to take over the country is they've got to get rid of the guns. They have never been able to take over a country. Japan wouldn't attack America because it had too many guns in the households. The Communist Party has never been able to take over a country where the public had guns. So there are sometimes underlying issues behind the issues that you need to understand for sure. God's definition of sin is on that subject of guns. We did 11-week series, and I'm quite finished yet in my class upstairs, on Genesis 1 through 11, because this is where your kids are getting killed in the colleges and universities. On Genesis 1:11, there is no God. There is no Adam and Eve. He didn't create it. He didn't create the world. Dinosaurs were created 10,000 million years ago. It's all an analogy. It's nothing personal. And if you don't believe Genesis 1 through 11, that God created the world and so forth, let's all go home. Let's all go home. Because the rest of the scripture then wouldn't be true. Because it was the beginning of life for all of us. And so that's why we're dealing with that subject and from a number of standpoints. Do you know that we know that Cain killed Abel, but do you know what he killed him with? No. Maybe. You don't know because, hear me, sin doesn't deal with objects, it deals with people. The hearts of human beings kill. The object is almost immaterial to it. Not always. It has some. Murder begins and ends in the hearts of men. But here's the other issues that you need to apply God first before you go too far. The subject of capitalism economics, which is all the philosophies dealing with how you do economics of a country. Totally opposite from this. You ought to read this. You ought to read this book, Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx. If you want to go to sleep one night, this will be a great way to get to sleep. But at the same time, you'll understand why they have murdered more people probably in the world than any organization around. Abortion, justice, which deals with crime, social justice, self-defense, marriage, the family, which is God-given, and really, if we don't save the family, we're totally toast. Divorce, pornography, discipline of children, the environment, the foreign policy, freedom of speech, dealing with especially the internet companies now and the way that they are treating speech. Gender, my class would be, know that I've almost outworn them down on the gender, transgender and all this. We dealt with it. I use that as, in my class, as one of the things, one of the issues of how to deal with.
But that's kind of all introducing transhumanism, which they're trying to get us to meld with machines, right?
It is correct. Media, who do you listen to, who do you don't? In the field of education, folks, what they're trying to do to our children from elementary school up. Teachers, get on them. Get on these unions. I'm sorry, you got to get on them quick. Education and then tolerance. That's a thing that Christians have real problems with. No, it's parents first.
We've been complicit for a long time.
Parents first. You got to know what's going on in your schools and what they're teaching. Tolerance is an interesting thing that Christians have a real problem with, and compassion. We've misused that both ways for a long reason of time. I ran for mayor, and when I was running for mayor, I'm a conservative. I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I absolutely refuse to be. Nobody's going to tell me what to think. I think my own. I have to make up my own mind. We had a forum before. We had 53 forums. So you go to all the city and you, all eight of us sit up there and they ask us questions and tell us what they want to be done from their perspective and so forth. So I'm at the Lowe's Hotel, fancy place. There are 500 gay and lesbian people in the audience. And so we're there to tell them what we think, and also they're going to vote on who they choose to be the next mayor. So, you know, there was certain things dealing with zoning and certain things, but most of it dealt with philosophy of living and so forth. And my belief is that homosexuality is a sin, but I treat all people with dignity and try to respect all people. And I have gays who work for me in the fire department and other places, and they're all treated with dignity and whatever. So how do I deal with 500 gay people, and what am I going to say to them in the forum? Here's what I said. I make no apologies for my faith in God or my personal beliefs about marriage and the sanctity of the union between a man and a woman. I believe that all sexual behavior has moral dimensions and consequences. I also have been taught that certain behaviors are hurtful to the human condition, that while certain behaviors cannot always be agreed upon, that all persons should be treated with love, patience, and forgiveness, and to do otherwise would be intolerant. To encourage behavior that I believe is hurtful to others would be the opposite of compassion. I am reminded that tolerance is a part of God's moral order, but not a substitute for it. Tolerance does not trump all other virtues. One of my granddaughters, Sandra, mentioned something about something that when she was in high school, she was talking about the high school had a little club where I don't think it was stamped approval, but they had a gay and lesbian club in the school. Sandra made a remark, not a bad remark at all, about their conduct and so forth. And my granddaughter said, we can't offend them. And I understand that. She's 16 years old. She doesn't have a strong yet mentality about life and how to deal with life. It's very difficult. I mean, I will die in a few years, and I still won't be able to get it all right. Never will be able to get it all right. Tolerance is a wonderful virtue, but it doesn't trump all other virtues. Compassion is a wonderful virtue, but it's misplaced sometimes in Christians when we should be a little tougher about certain things than so forth. The New Testament never suggested that the pursuit of love is a license for ignoring God's laws and values. Never does. Well, there's other items that we should look at. One is get all my papers here out. The next is the Great Reset. These are things that you're hearing now that you haven't heard before. You may never understand them. Huge issue, and in this congregation, this is an issue. Nationalism versus patriotism. Skin color and character versus character. The myth of neutrality. There's been a book written 40 years ago, and I've had it for 40 years, a great book called The Myth of Neutrality, and he talks about Christians who try to compromise everything out because they haven't got guts enough to make a decision or understand or speak up. Equity, equality, critical race theory, church-state issues, race, law enforcement, homelessness, immigration, and this one I've added. I did a 13-week series in a class upstairs a number of years ago on Islam. And I've done it in a couple of churches for them who requested it. That is something, Christians, you better learn about. You better learn about Islam. There's one other that I love, that all politicians are corrupt. That was said in a woman's class upstairs one day. And there happened to be another woman in there named Sandra who said, "Well, I know one who wasn't." And I'm going to protect myself here a little bit. If you can bring me a news article or any kind of press that says I ever did anything, I never was asked to do anything wrong. I never was asked to do anything that was immoral at all. Saw a little bit of it, but not much. There can be and is. Right now, there's a lot of it, especially in the federal government. There's a lot of it. But that deals with sins that deals with sins that people are committing within the realm of government.
And they use their sins against you to control you, right?
Correct. Absolutely. Now, here's some, those are most of them in this book here, not all of them. But here's some of my favorite. I want you to listen because I could talk for hours on this for sure. One is the two kingdoms. This is huge within our group, and David Lipscomb wrote a book where he believed that everybody should stay out of politics. I respect the book. He wrote it during the Civil War times, which you can understand the dilemmas that he was dealing with at that time. There are two kingdoms, folks, and God's kingdom is the most important. I can preach sermons on it all day long. But there's another kingdom, and that's this kingdom. Now, what we've got going on, even in this congregation, in some cases, is that you do God's kingdom, you don't deal with that other kingdom. Hear me. It's not either or. It's both. It's both, not either or. And there are different reasons why different people believe certain things about that, but our devotion is to God first. That's the reason I'm saying we come at our world, the issues of our world from a God perspective, and not from the other. And then my favorite, just about one of my favorites, you cannot legislate morality. I beg your pardon, I used to do it. What do you mean you can't legislate morality? Well, God said this and that. I know that. We're not unlegislating God. We know exactly what God said, and I'll stand up for God on any of those issues. You can legislate it. That's what they try to do. They try to legislate it because if you can get it in the courts and the courts say it's right, then that must make it right. We can't fall for that. We can't fall for that kind of stuff. They try to legislate morality. And the question comes up, whose morality is going to win? That's the issue. That's why we have to deal with all this. This is why it's so messy. This is why you're so upset about so many things. Because they're trying to legislate morality. Just the subject of abortion. Legislation everywhere. Everywhere. And yet we have millions who have this, and that's one of their, you can't legislate morality is one of the things they tell us so that we'll say, oh yeah, that's right. And we'll step by the way and won't get involved. And another one is power, the subject of power versus servanthood. I promise you, I got into government, I love government, because I wanted to serve. I have no interest in power. I had power, but I have no interest in, and Lord help me, if I ever abuse power, I'll ask for forgiveness from God and whoever I did it against. But I don't believe. But power, you follow the word power, it'll explain a lot about what's going on. And then the question, how do you vote? Fulton Sheen, he was a Catholic priest, and he was back when I was a kid, and he was on TV, and he was very fluent, very interesting way of putting things. And I've always enjoyed his writings. He said this one time, a nation always gets the politician it deserves. If the time ever comes when the religious Jews, Protestants, and Catholics ever have to suffer under a totalitarian state that would deny them the right to worship God according to their light of their conscience, it will be because for years they thought it made no difference what kind of people represented them, and because they abandoned the spiritual in the realm of the non-spiritual. This is where I will maybe get a little controversial if you don't understand what I'm fixing to say at all. I don't care who you, what group the Democrats are in now, but the Republicans, it wouldn't make any difference. I'd make the same statement either one. They tell you what they're going to do. He told you he was going to cut the gas and all that. He told you that. Mm-hmm. And my guess is normal, because what the guys who run the campaign said, they didn't read it. The Democrats have a platform. The Republicans have a platform, and they write it out. And if you don't read it before you vote, what are you voting for? You're voting for exactly what they say they're going to do. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. They write it out. And we go to the ballot box for the stupidest reasons. My granddaddy, my mother, my whatever. Why? What? What? We can't let this happen. And communism, for the last 40 years, has infiltrated this country more than ever. They got spooked out in the last few years. They've been able to stay undercover, but they got spooked out. The media got spooked out of who they really were, too. And communism has infiltrated our government to a degree that most of you would, if you knew where they were and how they were. And I'm talking about like in the State Department and all the different groups up in Washington. They've been in there for a long time. It's intentional. I give them credit. They're not in a hurry to take over. They're not in a hurry. They have great patience. I want to read to you something that is, I think, quite startling a little bit. Over 60 years ago, Russia had a leader named Khrushchev, and he delivered a message to the United Nations on his their prediction for America. If you remember, or if you've ever seen a thing, he got up, he took his shoe off, and banged his shoe on the podium. He was so intense about his speech. This is what he said. Your children will be under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we will keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find you already have communism. We won't have to fight you. We will so weaken your economy until you will fall like overripe fruit into our hands. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are not willing to work and give to those who would not. Remember, socialism leads to communism. So how do you create a socialist state? There are 8 levels of control. And here's the 8 that he gave them. Healthcare. Control healthcare and you control the people. Poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are, providing everything for them. Debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level, the way you are able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way, you're able to create a police state. Welfare. Take control of every aspect, food, housing, income, of their lives, because that will make them fully dependent upon the government. Education. Take control of what people read and listen, and take control of what children learn in school. Religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools, because the people need to believe in only the government knowing what is best for the people. World view versus secular view. And then the last one is class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. Eliminate the middle class. This will cause more discomfort and will be easier to tax the wealthy out of their support of the poor. That's what he gave them some 40-some-odd years ago. And so what is going on in America today? This book is exactly what he said. The poor is, it's the rich and the poor. The bourgeoisie versus the proletariat. They have abandoned that theory in America because in the last probably 15 years, the Communist Party, socialism, what do you want, they've abandoned that because the middle class, we have a very good middle class, and the middle class is pretty content, happy. So they couldn't get this, this is why poor countries, Cuba, all these Latin American countries, this is why communism flourishes so easily, because they get the poor, and it's you're either rich or you're poor. If you've been on a cruise to the southern border, you know it's either you're rich or you're poor. So for them to come in, promise them everything in the world, that the world is going to be absolutely heaven on earth with communism, it's easy. They've abandoned that for this country. They now have decided that they will divide us culturally. This is what's going on among us. They're going to divide us men, women, black, white, Asian, all any way you want to divide it, any way you want to divide it. Gay, straight, all of them, they have decided, that's why the cultural war is so huge. It's because they've abandoned the class warfare of rich and poor, and they've gone now to trying to divide us otherwise. America has gone down this road a long way in so many different ways that America needs to be extremely aware of this. How much have I got? I got 5 minutes. I cannot believe I got through that in 5 minutes. And I didn't even touch the surface, but anyway. Any comment or question, I'll be glad to take it for the last 5 minutes.
Why is this not taught in beside the church worship?
The question is why do we not teach this, or why are we not saying? Well, first of all, because I think we have a thing that you cannot discuss politics unless, because it's a Democrat-Republican thing. See, I totally deny that.
Where does that come from?
It comes from, well, because we've been taught that, basically. We've never been taught, the two-kingdom thing is a whole different thing. The two-kingdom thing is a part of it, that you can't discuss politics, you can't discuss this. If you take the view, if your worldview is secular, then sin goes by the wayside. All the things that we discuss in Christianity goes by the wayside. And so we're so entrapped in that concept, and then we've been told not to discuss it for various reasons, that it's politics.
So it's not a law.
I can preach. No, it's not a law. But I don't understand. Communism totally denies human nature. Genesis is so important because the Creator deals with human nature, how men and women are made, and how we think and how we act. And the whole Bible is dealing with the process of our minds and what we're taught and what we think and how we should view things. But we've decided in the last, well, we don't even preach sin anymore. We don't preach sin anymore because you're going to offend somebody. So we don't preach sin anymore much. And it's everywhere. And I'm not talking about Madison. I'm talking about pretty much all the way through the thing. There are preachers who do deal with this kind of thing in certain aspects in America. Rick Warren and some others have written hundreds of books on these things. I have probably over 1,000 books. When we moved, 3,000 books went to somewhere, that company that takes all those books and gave. I think it was 3,000 books, and they gave me $3 for all 3,000 of them. So I have about 1,000 left because we didn't have room for all of them where we moved. And I can tell you half, one section is dealing with these issues. The other section is dealing with religion.
How do you discern reliable information?
Very good question. One of the things, and this is, again, I'm not able to teach. I've got to go back upstairs next week. But we discussed all this. I'll tell you what I will do. I gave to my class by the way, if you weren't here last week, I brought in a list of the God, Bible, and the nations, and this is quotes. These are not, I put the two biblical quotes, Proverbs and Psalms, but the rest of it is dealing with quotes from presidents dealing with the morality and a nation, God and a nation. What they saw is exactly what I'm talking about. You can't have a nation without God to be successful. And so there's a few of those left. I'll put it here. I will send back down a thing that I gave to my class, which is these are organizations, books, so forth, that I would recommend that you read or listen to, or people you listen to that would help you deal with this issue. I didn't totally answer your question because it's a long answer. We have a lot of reasons why we are scared of this issue. I'm not scared of it because I believe God gave us government. I believe He gave us the processes that we should live by, and that's what we can talk about. And I spent 20 weeks upstairs plus weeks. I don't think I ever mentioned the word Democrat, Republican. Why should I? I didn't have to. Not my concern about, my concern is you with them. Yeah, big time. But I reserve the right to get on either one of them.
That's right.
If they're not doing what's right, that's the issue. Not what, and I, my mother, bless her heart, she's gone, passed on, 92 years old. She'd vote the same way today as we did before. But we can't do that anymore.
We have a lady passed out in the auditorium that we're transporting.
Okay. All right. We got a medical upstairs, and my time is up. Let's bow our heads for a minute. Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you, each person here. Bless their health. Father, these are tough issues. We're not smart enough to understand them all, to completely be able to discern all of them. So that's why we ask for your intervention in our minds. We need your wisdom. We need your, we have your love, and we certainly have Jesus, and we have your grace, and we know all that, so we're truly grateful. But trying to live on this earth is kind of difficult. But help us to understand it can be less difficult if we'll follow what you want us to do.
Amen.
And Father, as always, for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we are truly grateful. And we pray this prayer in his lovely name. Amen. Have a great day. Oh, announcements.
Hey, we still got announcements, people. Turn me down a little bit.
I'm sorry, I forgot you, forgot you did.
Well, we want to thank Buck for coming down. Testing. Yeah, he's trying to turn me down, though. I'm a little hot. Just quickly, any prayer requests? I know we just had a prayer, but anybody needs anything specific? Family members?
We're leaving Friday.
Leaving Friday for the Holy Lands.
The 21st through the 20th, we'll be back late the 28th. So we may not get here next Sunday morning, but just pray for safe travels and everything goes well.
Yes, there you go. Right, right. Sandy? Groups going hiking? Okay. Okay. Anybody else? All right, quickly, I've got some birthdays, and I don't know what was done last week, so I'm just going to go over. Let's see, Bill Hunter and Chris Neighbors. Are both of you in here? I saw Chris earlier. I see Bill. All right, quickly, we've got, let's see, that's it. That's it for this week. And then anniversaries, we've got Stacy and Stephen Watson, Vicky and Brandon Adams, Sandy and Jimmy Blackwell. So happy anniversary to all you guys. And real quick, for Bill, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bill. Happy birthday to you. All right. Since we've already had a prayer that's kind of gone on everybody, keep Jimmy and keep, well, I was going Michael and you can ask Shannon. I have a hard time with Muriel. But keep those guys in your prayers, and y'all have a great week.